This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Wyoming Republican Senator and Dr. John Barrasso. We want to get his thoughts on a number of issues making headlines up on Capitol Hill, from the fight over unemployment benefit extensions to the Supreme Court vacancy to the president's latest nuclear policy changes and, of course, the new discoveries we've seen as more folks comb over the details of the health care legislation, which was passed last month. And, Senator, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Well, let's start in the field that's probably your greatest area of expertise, and that's health care. More discoveries in the past few days, from the word that we're going to have a doctor shortage to 60 physicians hospitals that won't be built, to a lot of confusion in the offices of lawmakers themselves over what exactly they're covered under, whether they have to join these health exchanges themselves. What do you make of all these new revelations?
Well, you know, Nancy Pelosi said you're going to have to pass it before you can find out what's in it. And truer words were never spoken. I think it is astonishing to see the things that continue to come out even the day after the bill was signed into law. And the president said now no child in the country with a pre-existing condition, you know, can be denied care or coverage. And then a little later that day, they said, oh, we were wrong. As we read the bill, we see it differently. Now, members of Congress may find out that they're not even allowed to keep the plans they have, even though the president promised that if you have something you like, you can keep it. So I think fundamentally the American people continue to see that this is a bill that is not good for them. It's been written about the fact that most Americans think this was passed for somebody else, not for them. And that's why overwhelmingly, the American people, even after this has been signed into law, oppose the bill. The president says, well, there's some good things in it, and I think it's compared to a car with a nice paint job, but the tires are all flat, and the engine doesn't run, and the seats are slashed, and the steering wheel's fallen off, but, you know, it's a nice paint job, and that's what we see. There are a couple things in this bill that people might like, but overall, this is a car that's not going to run for our country.
Do you get the sense, Senator, that this fact affecting the lawmakers themselves so personally might lead to some additional changes that you believe would be for the better? Or at this point, are they stuck defending this bill?
Well, I think we need to repeal and reform and replace the bad parts of this bill. And that one thing ought to be the last on the list. The first thing we need to do is repeal the $500 billion of cuts in Medicare. And then we got to repeal the $500 billion of increased taxes. The fact is that insurance premiums are going to continue to go up and probably go up even faster because this bill is in place. So there are a number of changes we need to make. We need to let people buy insurance across state lines. We need to have a patient-centered approach. We need to deal with lawsuit abuse, which the president has refused to deal with in this bill. So there's a lot of things that need to be fixed, and I think Congress ought to be the last in line when it comes to who benefits from the fixing.
Another issue that I mentioned in the introduction, Senator, that has been debated throughout the week in the Senate and most likely will again once we hit the month of May, is the extension of unemployment benefits. Democrats say this is an emergency, much as Republicans in the past considered the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan an emergency, and therefore they don't have to be offset with spending cuts in other areas. Republicans are saying, obviously, that if you're going to be spending this money, which is fine, then you need to find the money to pay for it. What do you sense is the momentum on this? Are we just going to see this same fight month after month, or is one side winning here?
Well, the interesting point is that the Democrats continue to see this as an emergency. If it really is, you know, Greg, something that's going to happen month after month, we ought to be able to look into the future and say, we want to absolutely help people who are hurting during these economic times, but how are we going to pay for it? Not just every month say, oh, gee, we haven't thought about this, which is what Harry Reid is saying. He's saying, oh, we didn't realize this was coming again. It's an emergency. Let's just put it on to our kids and grandkids. I think that's very irresponsible. And that's what's happening with spending in this country. It's irresponsible. It's unsustainable. I'm worried it's becoming irreversible. People around the country are saying the debt is the threat. So there are other areas of government spending we need to cut to make sure that we take care of those who are hurting during these economic times.
What are some of the areas you think some money could be found?
Well, let's take a look, number one, at this troubled asset program, the TARP money, that hasn't been spent yet. You know, the president had promised this being spent on projects that are timely and targeted and temporary. Well, that was over a year ago. They should start using some of that unspent money. That's the money they ought to be spending on this, so to make sure that people that are hurting are covered, but not just throw it onto the national debt.
We're talking with Wyoming Republican Senator John Barrasso. A couple more minutes here and a couple more topics in our time with the senator. First of all, sir, I know you're a member of the Foreign Relations Committee, and obviously the past couple of weeks we've seen a lot of attention from the Obama administration on nuclear policy, our own, trying to reduce nuclear stockpiles around the world, trying to secure loose nukes, trying to perhaps find common ground with China on deterring Iran from a nuclear posture. He, of course, signed the START Treaty in Prague last week with the Russians. What do you make overall of the president's approach towards the nuclear issue?
Well, we want to make sure, as Ronald Reagan said, that we trust but verify. I just actually got back from Russia, being out of Moscow and St. Petersburg, as part of the program looking to make sure that things actually are verified. You talk about loose nukes. You know, we want to make sure that nuclear stockpiles are protected from nuclear accidents and from sabotage. So there are real concerns out there. So I'm not ready to say that I'm going to vote for the treaty. I want to make sure that it's verifiable. I want to make sure that our own nuclear capabilities in the United States are updated, and I want to make sure that anything we do with the Russians is fair to us in a way that doesn't favor anyone else. Plus, I have real concerns about the decision that the president has made to say that we're going to take a nuclear effort on our part off of the table in terms of how we would respond to an attack on the United States and on our people from a foreign country. If they say, well, if that country, does not have nuclear weapons, that then we will limit our response to that country. If somebody comes after us in a devastating way, we want to be able to go back with the full force of the United States against them, regardless of what kind of nuclear posture they have. So I would oppose the approach to take to limit ourselves in our ability to use as a deterrent or as an offensive weapon, anything against our enemies.
Quick follow-up, Senator. There was a GAO report and several analysts saying that our decision not to produce any new nuclear weapons relies on the old stockpile, and they say the more it ages, the less reliable it becomes. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I agree. I think that we should have any sort of a strategic arms reduction treaty, we need to make sure that part of that has us updating, modernizing our nuclear stockpile. The intercontinental ballistic missiles are housed in a number of locations across the country. Wyoming is one of them, and our F.E. Warren Air Force Base. I've been down into the silos where the missiles are and been part of that process, and we need to make sure for the defense of this country that all of those are updated and ready to go before we would sign on to any sort of treaty. So that's it's the same thing whether you're going to take a can of hairspray or shaving cream and you're going to push a button and push someplace else or onto yourself when you want to test out to see is this going to work. These missiles have not been fired, and the question is you want to make sure that they're modernized and up-to-date and ready to go.
The last 30 seconds, sir. We've learned in the last few days there will be a new nomination for the Supreme Court. We heard the president say that he, in addition to someone who respects the rule of law and has a distinguished background, that he wants someone who has had real-life experience and who will defend the individual basically against the corporation. So what do you expect from a nominee?
Well, I would hope that the president would choose the best person possible for the job, but I'm looking for somebody that's going to apply the law, not write the law. And to say that the president says that they're going to side with one side versus the other, it depends whose side the law is on. Not if it's a company or an individual person, it's what side the law is on and what does the Constitution say. That's what we need to focus on, and that's my concern with the president. If he's saying, well, I want somebody who's going to empathize, which he did with the last nominee, Sonia Sotomayor, I voted against her nomination, and I'm going to be concerned and look with great care on whoever the president nominates, because I want somebody who's going to apply the law, not just say how they feel about it.
Senator, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Thanks.
Wyoming Republican Senator John Barrasso. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.